This is episode 35 of the Home and Family Culture Podcast. I'm Jody Chafee. In this episode, I'm talking with Kirsten Evans of Nora's Macarons.
Welcome to the Home and Family Culture Podcast, where I discuss how families can discover and design their collective vision, values, beliefs, and traditions that influence their family culture. In this podcast, I interview experts who offer tips and tools to inspire families in this process of developing their family culture, and also successful individuals whose success was influenced by their family culture growing up. Be sure to check out the show notes for this and every episode at homeandfamilyculture.com, where you can subscribe for my weekly newsletter filled with updates on the podcast and blog, as well as other tidbits of information I like to add. You can listen to this podcast on iTunes, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, or YouTube. Please subscribe to your favorite medium. You can also find me on social media at Family Culture Podcast on Instagram, Facebook, and Pinterest, and at _FamilyCulture on Twitter. Be sure to comment, follow, like, rate, and share. But enough about all that. Let's get to the episode. Thank you for listening.
Eleven-year-old Nora has been baking the most delicious Italian-style macarons since she was 8. Her spin on the delicate and sophisticated little cookie are exactly what you would expect from a teenager. Her macarons are not only gorgeous and colorful, they taste amazing. She currently sells her macarons at a local farmer's market in Arizona. She bakes towers of macarons for weddings, favors for baby showers, and all other special orders. Her biggest accomplishment of her young career is when CoverGirl contracted her for a very special event they were hosting for Coda Modeling Agency. Her momager manages her social media, ordering, contracts, and has been cheering her on all along the way. Nora has 2 younger brothers, she studies ballet, and has performed in The Nutcracker, Wizard of Oz, Tarzan, and Cinderella. She is a student mentor in her school and hopes to join the honor program in middle school next year. So I'm so excited to interview and share with you Kirsten's perspective. This is Nora's mom, and I have known Kirsten for about 20 years now, and we have kept in touch over social media, and so grateful that she was willing and wanted to come on the show on the episode to talk about her experience with starting Nora's Macarons with her daughter, Nora. Well, I'm so glad that you're here to join me on the podcast, Kirsten.
Thanks, Jody.
So you and your daughter, Nora, have started this business called Nora's Macarons, right?
You said it right. I'm so impressed. Good job.
Well, because there is a difference between macarons and macaroons,
right? Thank you. There totally is. Yes.
When was Nora's Macarons born?
So Nora started baking macarons after we had gone on a trip to Disneyland. It was about 2.5 years ago that we went on the trip, and we had a bucket list of food that we were going to eat while we were there. And Disneyland has these things called Mickey macarons, and they're like big, huge macarons in the shape of Mickey Mouse heads. And they're filled with this fabulous, creamy, fruity filling. And so we got one. We went there to get one, and they're like, I think it was like $8.50 back then. So there were a lot of money for this cookie, I thought, anyways. So but you're at Disneyland.
One was $8.50.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know. So we bought one. We shared it. It was amazing. It was delicious. I'm not knocking Disney. They know how to make magical treats. And Nora had always kind of been a little baker, and she loved baking. So she's like, well, I can go home and make these. These are one of those things where they're so good, you want to learn how to make them.
Yeah.
So we came home, and she's like, Mom, I need you to go buy me almond flour. And so I was at a health food store and bought some almond flour. And she found a recipe like no fail macarons and quick tips and easy and blah, blah, blah. So she made them for the first time, and it could not have been more of a disaster. It was horrible. They were like blobs of speckled grossness.
I can't
explain, but she was just like, well, that's weird. I followed the recipe exactly like it said. And so little by little, she wanted to, I mean, she was determined to make
so this is all on her. Cakes. Yeah. She was really like, wow.
She's like, Mom, I think you need to buy a different flour next time because I bought unblanched almond flour and she wanted blanched almond flour. Just started figuring out you didn't buy the right stuff. So the next time they were less disastrous, but still not Disney quality at all. And then, so then she needed a different baking mat to put them on. And then she needed a different bag to pipe them out of. And like every single time she would make it, she needed something different. So finally she got to a point where they resembled somewhat of what a macaron was. And so I said, well, maybe you should take them to like a church potluck, or maybe you should give them to a friend for her birthday or something. So she started being crafty like that. Now, I had been a photographer, and if you've seen macarons, they're very pretty. And so I was always wanting to photograph them. And I was like, okay, now, you know, make this color and do this kind. And so she would make them and I would photograph them. So that's kind of how she got started making macarons. Uh-huh. So the business started when she came to me and she wanted one of these mermaid tails. And I don't know if you've seen these mermaid tails. That's like a full on skirt and has a fin and you swim in the water.
For real. It's like a mermaid. Acrylic or plastic type of.
Well, it's like the swimsuit material.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then the fin was like, like flippers, like you go snorkeling with. So she wanted one and I'm like, oh, that's fun. I would love that. We live in Arizona and so it's hot most of the time. So we swim a lot. And I looked it up and they were over $100 for this little mermaid tail. I'm like, I'm sorry, honey. I am not buying that for you. You can save your money and you can buy it. Well, she wasn't able to save that kind of money that quickly. So she said, well, what if I started selling my macarons? And I thought, well, okay, you could do that. I started researching, like, you know, I was like, well, maybe I'll open an Instagram page for her and publish it to the people that we know and who knows what'll happen. And I started looking up on Instagram different macaron accounts, and I was a little stressed because her macarons were not the quality of what you see, you know, fancy pastry chefs making, which is fine. It was, you know, she wanted to save $100. So she did a couple sales and just gave away. Basically, I think she made it very easy for people to get them, but they were very cheap and whatever. The Instagram account, I would publish, you know, what she was selling and if anybody wanted them. And people, I think, were just interested in supporting Nora because, you know, when a kid wants to start a business, it's something that people get really excited about.
Yeah.
And so people would buy them. And then this one lady was a photographer and needed like a special order for some of her clients. And Nora was like, oh, well, that's good. I can do that. So soon enough, she started in May, and then by July she had her mermaid tail money saved up. So she bought her mermaid tail, and then she wanted to save for culinary school. So we just kept working on it, and little by little, all summer long, she had this thing, it was called Macaron Monday. And so she would spend the whole weekend baking. And then she would bake two flavors, and then I would post what flavors she had, and then people would place their orders through me. Mm-hmm. And then they would come on Monday and they would pick them up. That's about how it happened.
Wow. That's awesome. I love that story. I love so many things about it because, like, when you think about people who want to start a business, it's like, all right, we've got to have our business plan. We got to have everything all mapped out. We've got to know exactly what we're going to do. But that But that's not how it happens in reality. It's just not that way. Like if you want to start or do anything, you go, okay, let's try it. And then you run a trial run and you go, I think we need to tweak this and that. And I mean, that's the way it's been for me in my podcast. Like as I go along, I keep learning things and I'm like, okay, I got to tweak this. I got to tweak that. I need to get this product, this resource, you know, and that shows a lot of grit and endurance on her part that she was like, I don't know. I really want to do this. And let's, that didn't work out. But instead of going, oh, just throw up her arms and this failed, just forget about it.
Kind of what encouraged me to start helping her. Like I saw how much she wanted to make these perfect. And I was like, all right, well, you know, at being older and the mom, I have more resources than her. And I was able to look up YouTube videos and see, okay, well, maybe you need to mix them this way a little different. And she'd be like, oh my gosh, that works. And, you know, it was a really good learning experience for her. Plus I was like, I would kind of like go behind her back and try to figure it out and then tell her like, oh, we'll try this, you know, just because she's not surfing YouTube like
right
all the time. Like that's not what I want her to do. So
we just
kind of tweaked it like that.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Of course she feels like she's doing, you know, she's like, oh my gosh, I know how to do this now, like I can do this. And so here we go. So
now it's become even like just more like a system as you've learned, and I love that. Because it's so easy to just like give up and go, well, this isn't working out, or not even try. But that the process, you learn as you go through this process of developing and understanding.
Yes.
And
we are still tweaking. Like we try new things like every month, like we're always doing new things. And who knows when this will be done evolving. It may never be done evolving. But at this point, we just are happy with where we're at and learning new things. And
it's
really good.
So how does Nora's education play a role in the business or vice versa? You know, where do you see this going?
Well, like I said, she wants to go to culinary school.
Yeah.
Which would be great. I think there's always, you know, more things you can learn. As far as the macaron business is concerned, though, there's not a lot to take there. I would like to see her getting more of a business education so that she can really take that into doing whatever it is she wants to do.
Yeah.
She also is in a ballet school where she goes, like she studies ballet for several hours a week. And so sometimes she wants to have a macaron business and sometimes she wants to have a ballet studio.
Are those all macaron ingredients in the background on your cabinet there?
Oh yeah. This is
it's like taking over your life.
Yeah, it is. We actually had to, you know, we started with a little basket full of ingredients and we would just pull the basket out when it was time to bake and it's turned it into this big thing. So, and we don't have our own little kitchen or our own store. So we have to make do with what we have.
What kind of licensing and things do you have to have to sell the macarons?
So we had to get a food handler's license. And then with baking, it's really cool. And every state is different. We have the cottage laws in Arizona. And it is a law that basically protects you from baking and selling out of your home. And there are several guidelines that you have to go by. You can't have pets in the kitchen. You can't have little kids in the kitchen, which is something I'll have to fight when it comes to it. Just all these different things that, you know, certain things you can't make. But other than that, and then we have, you know, we have our businesses registered. And
so is there a state website that gives you all these guidelines and everything? You just
yeah, if you just look up cottage laws in your state, it'll tell you what you can and can't do. Arizona is very, they're very easy to get through the cottage laws there. And I know the state of California is horrendous to get through that one. So it just depends on where you're at. It's a pretty new thing. And so, in Arizona anyways, it's constantly changing and things are, they go in different directions a lot. So we use that. And then we have, you know, every time we sell it someplace different, forever what city it is, we have to register with and pay taxes there. So I think that's all for our business scene we have to do.
Okay. Do you have my husband does.
So we don't have a website. Uh-huh. We do Facebook and we have Instagram.
Uh-huh.
And that's pretty much, I've been able to do pretty much anything I want there.
Yeah.
At some point, I'm sure I'll have to have a website, but we're not website-y people. So,
well, I love that. I love that because I think, you know, most people are like, well, we have to have a website. We have to have a shopping cart and, you know, a plug-in. We have to have blah, blah, blah. And no. Like, but social media has actually become like this really easy and convenient way to just start and grow a business.
Right.
Interesting.
It's been so great that, I don't know, that I don't have those skills and I don't have to pay for that. I mean, I don't pay anything for marketing or advertising.
It's just basically been word of mouth, right? Yeah. That just friends sharing with friends. Huh. That's awesome. Will the business play a role in Nora's future life goals? I guess you kind of covered that a little bit. And you know,
she's only 11 now. And so she could grow up to be like a scientist or something. I have no idea. But right now she looks at the things that we've done together. And I think she sees a future in that. I'm going to really have to step up my game at some point because when it comes to like a brick and mortar business and all that, I'm like, that's a lot, but it's little baby steps and we have some time.
Well, I like that she's learning these skills, like the grit and the resilience and the, you know, the skills of running a business that, you know, it's all part of that progression of, you know, maybe she won't have this business forever, but like you said, it could translate into any number of things as she grows up.
So many skills that she's learned can go in any direction. I mean, she's learned how to approach strangers and talk to them. She's learned how social media can be a positive force in the world. She's learned so many things that at 11 years old, I'm like, if I had even half of these skills that I did when I was that age, who knows? It would have been a great resource for me.
That's so awesome. I love it. So what skills have this experience helped you and your family to develop?
So
skills.
So Nora has two little brothers and, you know, my husband works full time. I stay at home. But we have really, you know, on Saturdays, we sell twice a month at a local farmer's market. And so it's Nora and I leaving the house early Saturday morning and then the boys stay home and hang out and do their thing. And when we come home from the market, they're there cheering us on. How did it go? How was everything that, you know, it's so our boys have kind of grown up like that's what mom and Nora do on Saturdays. But I think it's good time for, I mean, I know it's good time for Nora and I think it's good time for my husband and the boys to do their thing. My kids learn to be very patient in the kitchen. They know mom works when they're at school. You know, they know that I'm home baking, but it's really important for me that when my kids come home, that it's not business. It's present with them being mom. And then Nora has her little duties in the business that she does on days when she's not in ballet or on days when she's not at the market or whatever. So, you know, we all have our own little skills and it's almost like a little machine that is just kind of cohesively working. And I love it.
Really, so it's really become like a big part of your family flavor as you like, this is what we do as a family. This is how, you know, we encourage each other, we support each other. And then your relationships have developed because of this.
Right.
And
I mean, it also comes to, you know, my kids, we're going on a trip actually to Washington, D.C. this summer, and mom wants to spend some extra money, so mom needs to make some more money. So Nora and mom are making extra money that we can spend on our D.C. trip. Now, I understand that that means we have to be a little bit more patient and let mom work some more or let Nora do some extra stuff, but they figure it out. I mean, we have a great time and hopefully this summer we can be like, hey, remember when I made you play Legos in your room all day that one time? That's fine. Now we can have fun.
We can have a good time. That's awesome. So have you mostly then kind of taken over a little bit? Like it was Nora's baby in the beginning, but then it's kind of,
well, like, yes and no. So when Nora was doing the first summer where she was like, I'm just going to sell to friends and whatever, my only role in that was running the Instagram account and placing the orders. I call myself the momager. And then, I remember putting up a post, and it was right before she went back to school. And I was like, hey, thanks for this fun, exciting thing. We've glad you guys have been here. You guys have taught my girls so much about friendliness and customer service and, you know, just little skills. And I was just like, you know, Nora's turning into a fourth grader now. So we are going to put this on the back burner, and then maybe next year she'll want to do it again. Who knows? And as soon as I put that post up, like, people came out of the woodworks. Wait a minute, how am I going to get my macarons for this party I wanted to do? Or what if I come into town, will you make me some? And it was like,
wait, what?
Wait a minute. These people weren't here. Like, what?
Yeah.
So it was then that Nora and I kind of brainstormed on different ideas, what we could do. And I said, well, what about a farmer's market? Would you want to do that? And she was like, yes, that would be so fun.
Yeah.
And so she went through the whole business plan of, okay, well, we need to buy a tent, and we need to buy a display case, and we need to buy these things. And it was at that point she turned into like Shark Tank, and she presented this business plan to my husband. And she was like, I need to borrow $180, and then I'll have you paid back by this time. And, you know, It was exciting for her. She loved it. So at that point, when I knew we were in a more public setting and it was a bigger deal, that I had, and she was in school, and so I had to take over some of the responsibilities. And then we kind of went, I made a list of all the things that need to be done for a market. And then she picked out what she wanted to do from the list. And then I did the other hand of it.
Nice. I love that.
She pretty much had to teach me what she does to make the macarons, because I didn't know how to do that. So I guess I would say that I kind of took over, but I don't know if an 11-year-old could do the quantity and the mass that we do by herself. So I wouldn't do it without her.
I'm like, yeah, you've scaled to a point where it's more than just a one person's job. Right. Like, that's normal. That's normal business progression.
And she always says to me too, she's like, you know, Mom, little Debbie wasn't in the kitchen baking her stuff when she was putting them in the grocery stores. She was like, she had a big factory making her things. So like, I can eat Nora's macarons with other people making my stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's a really good mentality too, because like, so I'm listening to this book called E-Myth, and it's talking about how there's three roles in a business. There's the entrepreneur, the manager, and the technician. And a lot of times businesses start because the technician goes, well, I can do this better than the manager. But then they start a business, but then they get burned out because they're trying to do all three roles. And so it's really smart of her that she's willing to like give up the technician portion of it and willing to be like the manager, the entrepreneur role, because then she can see, you know, oversee where like the direction of the business is going and take on that more leadership role in a way. Yeah. And so that's an amazing skill.
She actually hired a couple people too. Like, she hired a friend from her ballet studio that does all of the lettering for her signs.
Wow.
And so she did that. And then she hired an artist, another girl that she knows from our church that does like, she does drawings on the top of the macarons and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And what else? Oh, there's a girl that's at our church too that works at the markets when she can't be there. And these are all people, like, they're all kids. They're all under 18. She was just like, oh, well, this girl's really friendly with people, so I think she would be amazing with talking at the market. And this person's really artistic. And it was really funny just this summer, around Christmas time when she was looking for a couple people. So there was this artist that was just like, I'm really shy. I don't want to like put my work out there or whatever. And Nora was like, you're 15 years old. I'm 11. If I can do it, you can do it. And you're amazing at what you do. And I think everybody would love your artwork. So then I remember we got in the car, and it was right after The Greatest Showman had come out. Have you seen that movie?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. She loves that movie. And she goes, Mom, I am just like P.T. Barnum. I'm pulling these kids out of the shadows and I'm showing them to the world.
I love that. Oh, I love that.
So cute. I was like, you know what? I love you, kid.
Oh, I love that. That's so awesome. So she's total like entrepreneur, like manager type, you know, that's cool that she can see the different qualities of people. And it's like, not just in a business perspective, but as a person, you know, that humanity that she's able to be like, look, you have these skills, like you can do this. That's really, awesome. What a sweet spirit. What a great soul she has.
She really does. I'm really blessed that she's letting me keep on with this whole thing.
That's awesome. So that's cool though, that it's like, she's, you know, like just thinking on a grander scale, like people who, other families who would be interested in helping their kids start a business, like, you know, to find something that you can do and, you know, be a technician about it. But then also, like, if you, like for me right now, I'm an entrepreneur, but I'm not a very good technician or manager. Well, I'm kind of a good manager, but I'm not very good technician. And so I'm like, I need to figure out how to like outsource or find ways to find people who can, you know, help me to manufacture different things that I'm thinking of. And so it's okay to like find those other resources and connect with people and the skills that you gain from that networking and making friends or, you know, things like that.
That's a skill in itself. Never mind the fact that you're learning something else. One of the things she hates doing is you have to separate the egg whites from the egg yolk. Uh-huh. She hates that part. And she like, oh, I get shells in there or I break the yolk and then I have to start all over. And so that was something that right away she was like, I need you to take this over, Mom. Like, this is, I can't do it. And so I was like, I get it. So I actually they make these like special guns that you just stick the egg in there and it cracks it and the yolk comes out one way and then the egg white comes out the other way. So it was really fun. It's cool. Cool little tool.
So that's neat though. That's like when you come up against a challenge, it helps, it forces you to innovate. It forces you to like either look outside for a resource or find something or make something or hire it out, you know, outsource it. So that's so cool.
Yeah.
this totally makes me want to start a business. So my oldest has been, she is like, she keeps asking me, Mom, I want to start something. I want to make some money. Cause you know, this last month, Michael and I went on a cruise and we're like, you guys, we should totally all go on a cruise as a family. And we're like, but it's kind of expensive. So we're going to have to figure out a way to save up for, like you were saying, save up for your trip to Disney. And so now she's like, Mom, how can I make some more money? How can I do this? And I was like, well, maybe you could walk dogs or, you know, I'm trying to think of things that don't have an overhead cost. I was like, you could be a mother's helper, you know, find some people at church that just had a baby and see if they'll, you know, what they would, you know, pay you to like be their mother's helper for a little while. You know, just trying to come up with different ideas.
I am serious that people want to help kids and support kids because, you know, I just think of how many opportunities they can have now at such a young age that, you know, they can do anything. And like I said, with Nora, like she can do whatever she wants. So like I'll be behind her and I will cheer her on and support her the best I can. My boys that are coming up on ages where they can start doing stuff, I'm like, all right, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
What are you going to do next? Cause I can't just work on one kid and let the other two hang out to dry. I got to focus my energy on them too. So these kids are amazing. And we give them the opportunities and the tools to do what it is that they want to do.
Like if you do a Google search of kids starting businesses, there's so many.
Seriously.
It's crazy. Like the way that these kids come up with ideas and just with a little bit of support, they can take off with it. Because, you know, like you say, the way that our technology is, the way that the internet is, the way that you can learn anything that you need to learn online, basically. Yeah. I mean, there's so many, you know, I've learned recently about like Udemy or Coursera. Those are all, I mean, you have to pay a small fee, but it's like you can learn almost any skill on these sites where you don't, not even just YouTube or, you know, you can go on these course sites and they actually have like courses that you can learn any skill. And it's like, just do it, just go and give your kids these resources and all of that, those resources are all available to our kids these days. And it's,
That is really
no limit.
Cool. They can learn so many things that whatever they want to do.
It's awesome.
So as long as she wants to take care of me when I'm really, really old.
Right?
You do whatever you want. I'm just moving in someday.
I love it. So let's see. How has this experience worked on your relationships with each other to change or grow? So you started to mention that how this has helped your relationship. Will you go into that some more?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, so it's been about 2.5 years. In the first year, we were just kind of figuring out, you know, how to actually run the business. And then after that, we kind of, okay, well, now I, as a mom, I really need to tap into her strengths and not focus on what she's not doing right. Because that is something that I kind of, I'll admit, it was hard. Yeah. You know, like I need you, when we're there, I need you to sit up straighter and I need you to present these so they look more professional. You know, it was just, I was always telling her more and more and more. And I just realized, I'm like, this is how kids get burnt out of stuff. Mm-hmm. This is why kids don't want to do things with their parents, because parents are nags sometimes. And at some point, that's our job. I get that. But I was really worried that that was going to shut the door and she was just going to close off on me. So after that, I started to focus more on myself and how can I give her more encouragement and how can I turn this more into what she wants to do. My relationship with my mom has been kind of on and off, and it hasn't been the healthiest in the last couple of years. And it took me separating that relationship to say, okay, when it was me and my mom, I didn't have a choice in that relationship. But now that I have a daughter, like this is like the second opportunity to have a parent-child relationship. And I'm in charge of this. Like I'm in control of this. So I can make it go as great as I want, or I can do nothing and it can go in the toilet like my relationship is with my mom. And so that is where I started to really change. And I was like, you know what, honey, she always needs encouragement. And she's about to go into middle school. And I just remember the middle school years. And I don't know if I've met one person that has been like, oh yes, I love middle school. It was so amazing. So I just want to give her as much confidence as I can for her to go into that. Because I know as soon as she goes in, it's whatever she does have is going to be lost. She has none of it. That's going to be worse. So I want to give her the encouragement and the confidence to take on the challenges of middle school like a champ.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. I totally recognize that with my kids, where like one time I gave my daughter a job and it was like, no, you do it this way. And after that, she's like, I'm done. I'm never going to do this job again. And you know, I've seen parents where they kids sitting down to work on a puzzle, like little kids, and this is a reference, but it's like, it carries over, you know, that they're sitting down to a puzzle and the mom or something like starts putting the puzzle together for their kid. And it's like, stop doing that. They're not going to learn that resilience and that grit if we are always stepping in and making, you know, doing it for them or critiquing every little detail.
Right.
But that when you have that encouragement, that fosters a much better, more confidence and the relationship.
Yeah. And I learned something from my husband, because, you know, the relationship with your spouse is obviously different than the relationship with your kids. However, I would notice that he would come home from a long day and I would have a nice meal cooked and I would have gotten the laundry done. And it would be the one thing where he's like, oh, well, dinner isn't exactly what I wanted, but it's fine anyways. And I'm like, wait a minute. No, I need you to tell me like 10 fabulous things if you're going to tell me one wrong thing. So I notice, I'm like, kids are the same way. I'll say, Nora, I need you to clean your room. And I'll say, I need it mom clean this time, so that when I go in, it's the way mom wants it. And I'll go in and I'll be like, okay, well, you put your socks away. Great. Good job. And your bed is made perfect. Like, you know, I just have to say that. And then I'll say, okay, your laundry still is not all put away. And then good job at doing this. And, you know, and she's like, oh my gosh, I did something good. Great. She loves how I put my socks away. Every time I put my socks away, I'm going to do it just like that. You know, like they need that. And that comes big into the business too. And
yeah,
it's complicated because we're in a public setting and she could really screw things up and whatever, but I want her to learn those things.
Yeah. It's all part of that process.
There was one, I'll just tell a quick experience. There was one time, we were selling at a market, and for the first few months that we sold there, we sold out every single time. And it was kind of us trying to get a grasp on how much we needed to sell. And so we sold out the first time, like within 2 hours. And then we sold out the second time, like within 4 hours. And so little by little, we were figuring out. And then it was one month that she was just like not feeling good. And I was just kind of pushing her into going. I mean, you know, we have this commitment. We have to go. Yeah. You know, I know you're tired. You probably partied too hard the night before. Watching too much stuff, whatever. So she was just kind of the whole day. And it was probably one of the worst days that we had ever sold. And we didn't sell out and we had a ton left over. And in our business, when you have leftovers, you got to give it away or mark it down. It's not good. And so we came home that night and I'm like, yeah, that kind of was rough, huh? And she's like, I did not even want to get up out of my chair and sell. That's why we didn't sell anything. And I'm like, you're right. That's how it works. And I learned that there are times when I have to say, no, I'm sorry, we've committed to this, but this is too much for us. And I've told Nora too, I'm like, if it is not fun, then we need to readjust things because, you know, we're not paying our mortgage with our macaron sales or whatever. It's not why we're doing it. We're doing it because we like to spend time together. And if we ever stop liking that, then we need to change things.
That is the beauty of having your child starting the business, that it's not like, hey, this is our bread and butter, you know, this is the bacon. So there's space to be flexible and not like stress out about it. And it's like a bonus, right? That you're having this business. So that is what's nice about it not being like your source of your livelihood. Even though, you know, it could eventually come, you know, if it's something that could become her livelihood someday.
Right.
But it's one of those things you do have to balance. Because I have read these books where it's like the idea of the technician taking over the business is that it's not fun for them anymore. Like the one time it was a passion and they were excited about it. But once they turned it into something that they had to do, it's just not fun anymore. And so you actually have to take a different approach to the business aspect of it and not focus on the fun, like not focus on, like if you want it to become a business, it's not gonna be fun. But if you want it to be something that is just like a hobby, a passion, then you got to keep it that way.
Right. So. Exactly.
Awesome. So what advice would you give to parents whose kids want to start a business?
Well, I would say that it is important to whatever it is they want to start. Like you said, it could be scooping poop or helping parents. Encourage that and build that up and have the conversation with them. I mean, I think sometimes we don't give our kids enough credit for what they do know, but then we expect them to know everything. And my biggest thing is just find out, look up different resources. You know, there can be so many resources out there for different businesses that they may say, hey, I want to start a ballet business, but you know, for Nora right now, she wants to have her own ballet studio one day and she wants to have a little cafe for the moms to sit and watch and then get treats at it. So I'm like, okay, well, you could do the ballet thing until your body gives out, because at some point it will, you know, and then maybe you can pass that on and take over a different, you know, like,
yeah,
I think there are so many opportunities for them to grow in different ways that if we just show them different things, it may be what they want. There were some times where Nora's like, I want to make cheese puff macarons. And I'm like, well, okay, let's make cheese puff macarons. I don't know how to do that, but we'll figure it out. And then we figured it out. And guess what? They were disgusting and nobody bought any. And I'm like, well, we tried it and that was fine. Like, I feel like I need to encourage her ideas and then sometimes maybe step in and be like, okay, so we could try your idea. And then there's also this we could even add on to it or try in a different way. I think that's good. I think it's important for parents to be involved and not just be like, okay, go do your thing and have fun with it. I'm going to do my thing over here. That is something that I feel was hard for me as a kid growing up is that I didn't have anyone like saying, hey, let's do this together. It was more like, go do your own thing. And so there was never that encouragement there. So that's something that I feel it's just important that we do.
Yeah. I like that. What you said about allowing, like, we're helping them to experiment. I think that sometimes we go, oh, that's not going to work. Or, oh, just forget about that. Mm-hmm. But it's like, how do you know that? And so the kids have this curiosity. They have this desire to like, just figure it out and find out. And if we as parents can just say, all right, let's figure it out together. Because it is a process. It's a journey. It's not something that you're going to go, okay, yeah, that would totally work. Because you don't know that. Or you go, no, that's not going to work at all. Because as soon as you start trying something, you'll learn something or you'll connect with something and you go, wow, this actually did work out. So you have to be willing to experiment with your kids and just play along with their crazy ideas. And
And I think the macaron business was super fun because flavor ideas are endless. I mean, the possibilities are endless. You go to Paris and you get boring flavors like lavender or rose or Earl Grey. And Nora's like, my colors are going to be bright and fun and my flavors are going to be unforgettable. So she does like fruity pebble macarons or Lucky Charms. What are some other ones that she's going to list this week? Churro macarons.
Ooh.
You know, just silly things. Unicorn macarons. Uh-huh. Like, it just, it works.
I love that she can infuse it with her personality and her own flavor. That's so cool.
Oh, too. So she's kind of known for putting sparkles on her macarons, and every macaron has sparkles on it. And
that's awesome.
Good, and it's fun.
So, what books or resources would you recommend for parents who are interested in this?
I don't have a lot of books that I've read on this stuff. I really have just played along with it and gone as it goes. Google, I recommend Google.
Nice.
Nora loves watching the baking shows on TV. There's Kids Baking Champion. There's Master Chef Junior. There's Shark Tank Junior. These are things where she sees kids doing things and then she's like, oh, well, can I do that? And then that's where I step in and I'm like, maybe you can, or nope, you can't.
That's okay. Recommendations. I like that idea though, because it's like whatever ideas that they have, you start just filling their life with it. I think that that's really cool. Like if they are interested in the cooking, then let them watch those kinds of shows and see other kids doing it. I love that. And then like my kids were watching Random Acts.
So I can't. Oh, yes. Isn't that? Yeah.
And all, like every episode, they do something that's like kind of wacky, you know? And, but I guess this one episode they were watching was like this traveling gaming service.
Okay.
And this morning my kids are like pretending that they had a traveling gaming business. And it was so adorable. like where the game is in the trailer. Have you ever seen these things?
Yes.
So like there's like either it could be electronic games in the trailer or it's like an actual, like in this episode, it was like a escape room, I think.
Oh, okay.
So like it comes to you or your party, you know, whatever it is. Anyway, so they were like, you know, scheduling their, like taking phone calls and scheduling their gaming to come to your gaming to come to your party. And it was like, I love this. So it was just allowing them to explore their imaginations and just do that stuff. So
I'm the first one to admit that I am not going to like turn my kid into everything she's going to be. Like I have to use other resources to get her attention and to get her to think creatively differently. And, you know, I don't want my kid to be exactly what it is that I tell them to be. I want them to be able to think on their own and make decisions on their own.
Yeah. I mean, the resources and their imagination are limitless. Yeah. And it's like, if we are going to almost limit them if we, if we think, oh, well, this is my vision of where this should go. And they're thinking, no, I have this other vision of where this should go. And we are here to just encourage them and help them out.
Yeah.
So cool. So cool. Awesome, Kirsten. I really loved this conversation and talking about your experience.
Well, if anyone wants to follow us on Instagram and Facebook,
yes,
we're on Nora's Macarons. We don't ship really. Macarons don't ship very well, so it's mostly local. But we do have very colorful, fun pictures and fun little nuggets every once in a while. Tips on how to make the cookies and things I do to put up with her and take deep breaths. And we do this thing with each other. It's called the butterfly hug. Mm-hmm. And we cross our arms and we tap our shoulders whenever we're feeling like this is too much. I want to throw in the towel. We just tap our shoulders and we just look at each other and we kind of give this little grin like, yep, I know what you're doing. So I like to share all kinds of tips like that on my Instagram too.
Nora's Macarons on Instagram. Cool. Yes. How far have you shipped? What's your furthest distance?
Probably to the East Coast.
Oh, okay.
In the summertime, they just don't hold up in the summer. In Arizona, it can be like 120 degrees and they cannot sit outside for that long. They're best when they're refrigerated and they're just very fragile. And so it's hard for me. We did a season where we were shipping and it's just, I don't have control. Once I give it to the postman, it's out of my control. And I feel bad when they show up and they're broken. It's just,
Cause they are very soft and delicate. Like, that's interesting. Ah, cool.
So maybe I could bring you some when we come to DC this summer.
Okay. That would be fabulous.
Perfect.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Kirsten.
Yeah. Thank you. It was fun.
That was fun. I really love talking with Kirsten, and I feel super inspired now to help encourage my daughter to start her business. She has really been nagging me almost to the point where she says all the time that she wants to have a hot cocoa stand in the winter and a lemonade stand in the summer, and she's so excited about those things and is always asking me, what can she do? And I've been brainstorming some fun ideas, and so this was really encouraging. And I love how Kirsten has really implemented these ideas and actually has made this all a part of their family culture, and that it's something that has become an easier thing for her to pursue for her younger kids. So I think that's really awesome. Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode. I really hope you found it inspiring. If you'll just take a moment and comment and like and share and rate, you can rate it on Facebook, on my Facebook page at facebook.com/familyculturepodcast. And you can go onto Instagram and find me there at Family Culture Podcast as well. So thank you guys so much for your support. Thanks for listening. Be sure to share. And for all the book recommendations that I have, please go to my show notes at homeandfamilyculture.com/books. And you can go to my show notes at homeandfamilyculture.com. Thank you.